My Redeemer, my Redeemer. And the Lord had been dealing with me here recently about this of a Redeemer. And we come here to this chapter in Psalm 49. Psalm 49, the scripture says in verse number 1, "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world." I think that's everybody, isn't it? Everybody. "Both low and high, rich and poor together." Verse 3, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable, and will open my dark saying upon the harp." The psalmist has a song here, doesn't he? And he has a song that he wants everyone to hear. Verse 5, "Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings." Selah. Think about that for a bit. "Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Selah. "Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well for thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." Here in this psalm, we want to direct our attention to these verses here in verse number 7 and 8 and verse number 15. Let's back up to verse 6 to get the thought. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." Verse 15. "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave." Remember that. "For he shall receive me." Selah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your goodness towards us in it. We thank you for your word as it's been brought forth and the truth of it. We thank you for the wondrous things that you've blessed us with. So great salvation. And not only that, you showed us about your church and you've put us in your church here at Olmsted Baptist Church, and you've blessed us greatly. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ and how you've blessed us and given us one to another to serve you and worship you together. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us even this day, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for saving us through him. We pray, Father, that you might make the power of his gospel effectual in the hearts of sinners in our midst. Lord, those that are without Christ, that Lord, that you'd save them as you only can. Father, they'd come to you. Lord, they'd see you as they've never seen you before. Lord, work and save and help, we pray. Bless now as we look about our Redeemer. And Lord, help us to understand great and wondrous things out of your word. Lord, your blessing upon us and increasing our knowledge and encourage us in you, Lord. We want that and we desire that, and we pray that you'd bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake, and amen. Here, telling about the wealth of man and something that the psalmist wants everyone to hear, to understand that there's nothing on this earth, in a nutshell, and to summarize it all, there's nothing in this earth, on this earth, or of this earth that can be given to redeem a person, to redeem a soul. None of them by any means, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. This word redeem is to talk about a ransom. And in the song that I sang, it speaks about that ransom that our Lord freely gave. There's a element here about the preserving that goes on in redeeming. One is redeemed. They're bought. They're saved from something. They're delivered from something. And the redemption is that ransom that is paid for that. A man cannot by any means redeem another. No man, woman, boy, or girl can even redeem themselves. There's nothing that can be done. There's no amount of wealth upon the earth. And it tells us here in verse number 8, for the redemption of their soul. Let's just get down to it. The redemption of their soul, their eternal, ever-living soul, the redemption of the soul is precious. And what that word precious alludes to, and we have our use of the English word, but it was, we take a look at that in the Hebrew, it's talking about it's heavy. It's a lot of value. It takes a lot to redeem a soul. It takes very, very much. It takes that redemption, that which is given to redeem a soul is rare. It's valuable. And there's a whole lot of it. It's heavy. It is heavy. It is priced indeed. It is of a great price indeed. And it says here, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. There's many thoughts about what this latter part of that verse and that part of the sentence is talking about. It goes on to say in verse 9 that he should still live forever and not see corruption. I think that gives us an indication about what it's talking about. And it ceaseth forever. It ceaseth forever. We think about the word cease to mean to end. But I think if I understand it right, the meaning of this in this context and in this verse, the soul is going to go on forever. And the redemption that is necessary needs to be an everlasting and eternal redemption. We're not talking about redeeming something on this earth, but we're talking about the souls of men and women. That redemption for the soul is precious because the soul never ends. The soul never ceaseth. It never ends. The redemption that is given must never end. It must never be without effect. And what is there of this earth? What is there of mankind that is like that? Because all things in the world come to an end, right? Man that is in honor, verse 20, and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. This chapter tells about the blessing, even the blessing that we have of wealth and the things that our Lord gives us. They're going to come to an end. They're going to be burned up ultimately. And the things of this world, or they rot and they decay, and we have to maintain them. That's not something that can be given for the redemption of a soul. It says in verse 9 that he should still live forever. Okay? And so there's that living of the soul forever. The redemption that's given to redeem the soul has got to be able to accomplish that. That the redemption, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. A redemption, a redemption, a redeemer, one to redeem. Much is said about redemption in the Bible. Jacob in Genesis 48 speaks of the angel that redeemed him from all evil. Our Lord in Exodus and Deuteronomy, he speaks of how he would and did redeem Israel out of Egypt. In Exodus, our Lord tells how Israel is to redeem the firstborn of cattle and to redeem the firstborn of their children. The Lord said that everything, every life that cometh through the matrix is his, and the firstborn is sanctified by him. That final plague there in Egypt dealt with that. In Leviticus, our Lord instructs Israel concerning the redemption of property and persons by the kinsman redeemer. And in Ruth, the book of Ruth is a beautiful account of that, is it not? In Numbers, the scripture tells how all the firstborn of Israel were redeemed by the Levites. The Levites were a tribe that was set apart. They weren't given an inheritance. They were given some cities. But they were that which the Lord had set aside, and he said that their reward, their inheritance was him. And they were the redemption for the entire nation of Israel. You know what? Those of Levi in that day, it fell short for the number that there was in Israel that needed to be redeemed, the other tribes. 273 couldn't be redeemed by Levites because there wasn't enough. There weren't enough. And they had to be redeemed by the redemption money. And it wasn't a small price. It wasn't a small prize. David in 2 Samuel and 1 Kings declares how it is our Lord that redeemed him out of all adversity and all distress. As we consider about this of a redeemer, it's interesting. I find it interesting in the scriptures as we walk through the scriptures that it's not until the book of Isaiah. It's interesting how this is. You know, we found recently that we don't find out about the Lord Jesus. We have hints to it. We have things that point to it in the scriptures. But it's not until we get to the book of Hebrews that we find out that it is the Lord Jesus. It's declared plainly that the Lord Jesus is our great high priest. It's interesting. I find it interesting that it's not until we get to the book of Isaiah that we find the Redeemer named and the Redeemer declared. And even it is so, there seems to be something that goes on there in the book of Isaiah. And I don't know all about what it is, but where Isaiah in chapter 39 to chapter 40, right in there in those chapters, it's told about John the Baptist, and it's declared about the Lord Jesus Christ, about him being John will be the forerunner, that voice crying in the wilderness. And then from chapter 39 or chapter 40 of Isaiah ongoing, we find much prophecy about the Savior. And it's not until then, in chapter 41 of the book of Isaiah, that we hear about the Redeemer being named, even the Redeemer of Israel. We see there's many verses, but we'll look at a few. In Isaiah 44, verse number 6, the scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." It's God Almighty. It's the Lord that is the Redeemer. The Redeemer of the King of Israel, the Redeemer of Israel, the Redeemer of the nation, it is he. In that same chapter, Isaiah 44, verse number 24, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Tell you what, I think we've got somebody that's qualified to be the Redeemer here, don't we? Outside of this world, outside of this life and existence upon this earth, with God is the Redeemer of his people and his nation here. In Isaiah 47, in verse number 4, a few pages over, the scripture says, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts And that's an interesting phrase and an interesting meaning. The Lord of hosts, he has many hosts, many armies, and he rarely uses them. But he's got armies. He's a man of war, our Lord is. And yet great and gracious and merciful and loving, but yet will fulfill and accomplish his wrath. He's a great God. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed, I'm sorry. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. We come to Isaiah chapter 50 in verse number 2. Wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? is the Lord our Lord, our great God and King, is he in any strait that he can't accomplish any redemption? Not at all. He doesn't have a short arm. He's not, as Brother Mark mentioned, the Lord is not trying to do anything. He's doing what he wants to do. And praise be to his name. He doesn't have a short arm. There's not things that are out of our Lord's reach. Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? It'd be good for the so-called religious world today to get a hold of that verse, wouldn't it? The Lord has said what he means and means what he says. He's told how he wants things done. And you know what? We do well just to follow him. Just to follow him in what he has given us. Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. They're having a drought out in California, aren't they? They're scratching their heads about where the California Delta waters are going. I tell you what, it's time to get down and pray. It's time to get down and pray to God Almighty. The Lord knows where the water's going, doesn't he? And he can fill it up, can't he? He can do it. In Isaiah 52, verse number 3, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught. This is a statement toward mankind, isn't it? Not only for the nation, but also to mankind. Ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. The Lord's going to redeem without money with something more precious, more weighty, more valuable than money. Verse number 5, for thy maker is thine husband, speaking to Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Our Redeemer. Our Redeemer. In Isaiah 59, verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. You know, that's a prophecy to be fulfilled. He came, but he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, listen, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. He's going to redeem his nation one day, isn't he? He's going to bring her back. He's going to save of the number of the nation of Israel, and his nation will be established again and forevermore. He tells Israel in Isaiah 60, verse number 16, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and shall suck the breasts of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The Lord's going to take care of his people because he redeems them, and he redeems them at a great, great price. We turn over here to Luke chapter 24, and all this in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament scriptures, and namely, and there's these different concepts or different principles, different commands of the Lord as far as redemption that I just mentioned about. You can understand, one could undertake a great study about those. But we find this about the Lord being named as a Redeemer of Israel and what he has done and what he will do. And you know what? There were those that looked on at this of redemption. There were those that looked on at this of redemption, and they had hope of a Redeemer. Here in Luke chapter 24, we want to read this. When our Lord has given his life on the cross of Calvary, and these two on the road to Emmaus that our Lord engages, and he sees that they're sad. And so, well, haven't you heard about what's going on? And they say in verse 20, how the chief priests and our fathers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought he was the one. they looked for redemption. They looked for a redeemer, and they really thought that they had him. Well, we know that they did, didn't they? It says, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Nothing's happened in 3 days. We take it. He's still dead. In Luke chapter 2, I know we might seem to have gotten these out of sequence, but from the Old Testament scriptures and these that we just read about there on the road to Emmaus, they thought about Jesus. They thought that he was the Redeemer. They knew something about what the Old Testament scripture said about a Redeemer. All those passages that we read in Isaiah, and there's more, and even some in Jeremiah that refer to the Lord as the Redeemer. And I think many of those passages refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were those that, even before the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew what those Old Testament scriptures said. And it says here in Luke chapter 2, verse number 38, Anna was there, a widow. She served the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day. And it says here in verse number 38, and she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. That there were those that in the day of the birth and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were holding on to those scriptures, looking for a Redeemer. He's here. Simeon said, he's here. I can die now, Lord, what you've promised me in seeing the Savior. You've brought it to pass. Anna came in and she saw the Lord Jesus and she went out. He's here. The Redeemer is here. And he's like this. And that he's a babe. But she said, the Redeemer is here. This is the one. My Redeemer. Your Redeemer. In Romans chapter 3, and we just covered this in our Sunday afternoon studies and in the book of Romans, we see here that it's plainly declared who the Redeemer, our Redeemer, is. I will sing of my Redeemer. We should sing of our Redeemer. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 24, the scripture says, after it says in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. He's the one that steps up and accomplishes the redemption. He's the one that does this redeeming transaction, this precious price that is paid, this desire to take the one that needs to be redeemed and do something for them. He is the Redeemer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle writes to this church in Greece, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's our all in all, isn't he? He's the set-asider set aside, or that sanctification. He is the one whose righteousness has been imputed unto us. He has worked with great wisdom to bring us to salvation and has given us that wisdom, revealed it unto us, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, his Redeemer. Amen. Redeemer, our Redeemer. From what has he redeemed us? What has he redeemed us from? And I find it interesting this morning that the choir song was along this line in Job, in the book of Job, chapter 19. From what has our Lord redeemed us? He is the Redeemer. But from what have we been redeemed? Brother Job tells us about that, and it's even alluded to in the scriptures that we've already mentioned, but it tells it's going to become more and more plain. In Job 19, verse number 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Tell you what, it doesn't have much promise to have a Redeemer that's dead, does it? I mean, think about it. If our Redeemer were dead, remember, this thing of redemption is an eternal affair. It is an eternal soul that needs to be redeemed. It needs to be a redemption that has eternal weight. Remember, it's precious. The redemption is precious. Because these are eternal things that are being dealt with, not just some transaction. We went and Mom and Dad closed on their house, and that was a transaction. It's accomplished. They paid for the house, and the house was yielded to them. But tell you what, that's nothing. And that's a big transaction of life, the purchase of a home, of a house. But this transaction, this redemption, it's the greatest of all. And if there's not a Redeemer that's alive in this eternal affair, how can we be guaranteed that the redemption will proceed? Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Listen, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. My Redeemer lives, and he's going to live and stand on the earth. And even though they take me and they put me down in the grave and my body rots, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him stand. Job knew that he was redeemed from the grave and death. In Hosea 13, 14, speaking of Ephraim, speaking of Israel, after Israel was divided into the two kingdoms after the reign of Solomon, speaking of Ephraim or speaking of Israel in Hosea 13, 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Ransom, redemption. I will redeem them from death. Listen to what the Lord says. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. When it comes down to the Lord to redeem and redeem his people, death quakes and fears. To take death and personify it, which it's not a person, it's the result of sin, but it fears and quakes. The grave says, oh, I can't do my business because God is at hand, the great Redeemer. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? From what does he redeem us? He redeems us and has redeemed us from the grave and death. Also in Galatians chapter 3, and we've looked about this, and it's interesting how this ties together, and I'm thankful for it. It's a blessing to us to have things tied together. We've looked about the law in our study in Romans. And look at this. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Is the law good? Uh-huh. It is. We need it. Because we need to see the picture that the law shows us about ourselves. But you know what? The law is a curse from the standpoint of offering salvation, because it can't do it, because we can't keep it. The law is a curse from the standpoint that when it came up and it was given by God, it stands there and it continually shines the light on our problem. There's no escaping it. I don't believe in the law. So what? It doesn't matter. God gave it. It's the truth. You're guilty. You're guilty. We're guilty. And the law shows us that. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How about that element of imputation? What the law stood against me and held me to, there's no way for me to wiggle out of. There's no price I can pay for my crossing the law and disobeying the law of God. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. I can't run to it for it to help me. I can't get away from it. That curse of that law, my Savior, my Redeemer, your Redeemer took it upon him. He fulfilled it, didn't he? He paid the price, the ransom. He the ransom freely gave. What that law required for my sin and transgression, he kept it, and then he bore my iniquity upon himself. What a redeemer, amen? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That was the death that was required. That was the death that was ordained that would show how bad our sin is and the need of salvation, atonement, redemption, the payment that needed to be paid. Listen, the Lord Jesus paid for our sins on the tree. He didn't go to hell to suffer for them. He paid for them right there. He was cursed of God Almighty for mine and your sakes. My Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer. It goes on to say here in chapter 4 in Galatians. Let's back up to get the entire sentence. Verse number 3 of Galatians 4. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from being under the law. And not only did he just rescue us, he brought us home. Not only did he redeem us, but he brought us home. And not only did he redeem us, he didn't bring us to the servants' quarters. He brought us in the house. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're children of God. What a great Redeemer. He's redeemed us from the grave and death. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then in Titus chapter 2, we find something else that our Lord has redeemed us from. In Titus chapter 2, we read here in verse number 11, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's it say? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. We've been redeemed from all iniquity. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. We've been saved from our sins. And the Lord's thinking is that we would sin no more. Now, he's left us in this. We have the new man that doesn't sin. We have the old man that is subject to be tempted in sin. And yet he's equipped us. He's given us things whereby we can confess our sins, repent of our sins before our Lord, and he'll forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us. He's faithful and just to not only forgive us, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we've been redeemed from our iniquities. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And Brother Mark mentioned about that in his Sunday school lessons. The Lord's people that he has saved and put in his churches are to be a peculiar people. As Brother Paul writes to Brother Titus, is not the writing in the church context? Didn't he tell Titus some things that he needed to do regarding his work in the church? Yeah, we're to be a peculiar people, not just a saved people, but a people in his church. That's the design. That's the pattern. And we are to be zealous of good works. We're the Lord's people. And he's commanded to preach those things. Our Lord has redeemed us from the grave and death, from the curse of the law, and from all iniquity. But how has he redeemed us? How has our Lord redeemed us? Well, it's been alluded to but it gets real plain here in Hebrews chapter 9. Let's take a look over here. Hebrews chapter 9. My Redeemer, your Redeemer. Will you sing of your Redeemer? I tell you what, we have much to proclaim and praise him for. In chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse number 15, how has he redeemed us? Verse number 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. We've seen about that recently. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. How has he redeemed us? He's redeemed us by his death. Talking about precious. Talking about a weighty ransom. A weighty ransom. God had never died. Yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ became a man and did die. By his death, we have been redeemed. By his death, by his offering and sacrifice of himself, by his fellowship being cut off and broken between him and the Father, as the Father, if you will, turns his back upon his Son. We've been redeemed by his death. We've been redeemed by his death for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see something else. And I trust you know about it and are thinking about it. But we see here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, how has he redeemed us? By what means? What is that precious ransom that he has given to redeem us? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, in whom, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. You know how good it is? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We have redemption through his blood. That blood that flowed on Calvary's tree some 2,000 years ago was effective then and is just as effective now. The Red Cross works very hard to preserve blood to make it usable for people that need transfusions. But you know what? After a while, blood gets old. It's unusable, but the blood of our Lord and Savior never gets old. The blood of our Lord and Savior never gets unusable. He's redeemed us with his blood. In Colossians chapter 1, this is a theme here to these churches that our brother writes to. He says in let's back up here to verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, under the all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Very, very similar to what he told the church at Ephesus, isn't it? In Hebrews chapter 9, we see here yet another reference about how he has redeemed him, by what means. It says in verse number 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How is our Lord? By what means? What's that precious ransom, that precious price for the redeeming of a soul? It is his death. It is his blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. See, there's not a price on this earth. We saw that in Psalms where we read, not with redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain, your empty conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with your we are redeemed rather with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He has redeemed us by his death. He has redeemed us by his blood. Do you know that we have some promises that our Lord will redeem us? I found this interesting. If you would have asked me, I wouldn't have thought of this. In Luke chapter 21, look here as he speaks to his disciples and speaking much in particular to things that are going to happen to the nation of Israel and stuff such as that. He tells about things that are going to happen and he tells and instructs and commands in verse 19 of Luke 21 to in patience possess ye your souls. We need to be peaceful. We need to have this cheerful, hopeful endurance, constancy, patient continuance and waiting for our Lord. Tell you what, it gets hard sometimes. This old man doesn't want to do that. But he goes on here and he says, in verse 28 of Luke 21, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's going to redeem us. He's going to redeem these old bodies, isn't he? In Romans chapter 8, verse number 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Not only has he redeemed us, our Redeemer has redeemed us by virtue of our soul, but he will also redeem our bodies. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, the Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We're not just going to be wandering around on the new heaven and the new earth spiritually. It's going to be a physical forever life. I almost said existence, but that's cutting it short, isn't it? Eternal life. Eternally alive in every way. Amen? Body, soul, and spirit. He will redeem us. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. In Psalm 49, let me go here to close. We'll go back to our text to close. In Psalm 49, my Redeemer, is he yours? Oh, I tell you what, you that are saved, we rejoice in our Redeemer, don't we? Our Redeemer. We make that reference, you've heard it at times, that our Lord and salvation has bought us back from the slave market of sin. And that's what he's done. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us from all iniquity. He's bought us back. He paid the price. None of them by any means, in Psalm 49:7, can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. No man's ascended up to heaven. No man can give a ransom to God for another. The damnable, blasphemous practice of the sale of indulgences and such as that our brother has taught about, that the universal church has engaged in and sent from centuries ago, even up to the present day, that stuff goes on in other countries. And even families now, no doubt, are engaged upon the death of their loved one about how much can you pay? How much can you pay? It's more subtle than it was back then. But to think that a church, that a man, that a person, that a priest, that some person of supposed authority can pay God for anything, that is blasphemous indeed, isn't it? To think that nor can give to God a ransom for him, Listen, because the redemption for the redemption of their soul is weighty. It's not man's money. It's not by gold and silver and precious stones which God has created. It's not by anything of man or anything of this earth that one can be redeemed by. One can only be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, by the precious work of the Redeemer, by the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the redemption of their soul is precious. It's a precious, weighty, heavy ransom, and it ceaseth forever. The soul is eternal. We read a scripture and dealt with a scripture that says, and we've seen them here even recently, that Jesus lives forever. He'll always stand as the Redeemer of His people. Who redeemed these folks? I did. Because He's alive. And He's alive forevermore. We sing this chorus and saw out of Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. But I tell you what, it gives some emphasis to that, doesn't it? Having looked at this, my Redeemer, He is my Redeemer. And then another one that came to heart and mind is Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You see that? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And indeed, death and the grave and all that is our enemy. Are you redeemed? Or you're only redeemed if you have the Redeemer as your Savior. His blood and His gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Are you redeemed? We point you to the Redeemer. You can be redeemed by faith in Him. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.